a year since the last time. It's a season of transition for our graduates from high school to college, but it also might be a season of transition for others of us as well. This morning, I would like to look at Scripture for some guidance as the seasons change in our lives. So if you would stand with me for the reading of the Word, we're going to start in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. And then if you put your finger there, and we'll go to 1 Peter 4, 1 through 11 will be our text. And really, Peter just confirms Solomon, but we want to go there. So, once again, and of course, I'm late as usual. Okay. Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And then if you go to 1 Peter, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their wickedness or their recklessness and wild living. And they heap abuse on you, but they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead, so that they might be judged according... Oh, I'm sorry. For this reason, the gospel is preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. And the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and a sober mind, that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be all the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Father God, help us to apply your word this morning. Holy Spirit, give us wisdom to understand it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. According to Jewish tradition, Solomon wrote Song of Songs in his younger years. If you think about it, the tone, boom, chicka-wawa, married man, married woman, it's younger years. He's enjoying himself. Proverbs in his middle years. And then Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes during the last years of his life. By the end of his life, Solomon's spiritual decline, hear that, his spiritual decline. He was declining spiritually. His self-indulgence in every pleasure, his foretaste for knowledge, and even idolatry left him totally disappointed with life. He went out and did all those things that we were told not to do. And in the end, with all his knowledge, he was completely and totally disappointed with life. He had definitely discovered that pleasure, materialism, wealth, popularity, and abundance of knowledge would not bring him true and lasting happiness or fulfillment in life. If you read right away, meaningless. Everything is meaningless, right? You could tell the despair he has with what he was going through. Ecclesiastes records his somewhat cutting and negative reflections about the hopelessness, meaningless, and emptiness of life apart from God and his word. That's how he ends in chapter 12. He ends everything. My conclusion is to fear the Lord your God. Devote yourself to his commands. But we face that. My teens face it. Our graduates will face it. Hopelessness and meaningless in this world because we only find it in Jesus Christ, in God himself. Solomon had possessed the highest level of wealth, power, honor, fame, knowledge, and sensual pleasure all in excess. He did it to the fullest. Man, if he was going to do it, he was going all the way. There was no halfway. He went all the way. He did it in excess. He had more than anyone's fill. Yet these things left him empty and unfulfilled in the end. His main purpose in writing Ecclesiastes may have been to express his regrets before he died by giving to others his personal account of some difficult lessons in life learned the hard way. I am one of those students that learn everything the hard way. So hopefully we can learn from Solomon today. His teaching may have been especially aimed at the youth and hope that they would not make the same mistakes he had. If you're a parent in this room, you totally understand where he's coming from. You do not want your children making the same mistakes. And here Solomon, he didn't want anyone ever making the same mistakes he had made. Over and over, Solomon points out the complete meaningless and uselessness of basing our life's values on earthly possessions, other people's opinions, personal ambition. Even though young people are to enjoy their youth, if you read Ecclesiastes, which I totally encourage, in chapter 11 you will hear that tone that the youth are supposed to enjoy their youth. It's more important, he concludes, to be committed to God in right relationship, to honor him, keeping his commandments, and to fulfill his purpose for our lives. This is the only path to real meaning, joy in our lives, and fulfillment in life. So Solomon begins in chapter 3. He begins by saying, for everything there is a time and season. He starts off after that. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest. Why? Why does he give us this list in chapter 3? Well, throughout life, we are restricted by the influence of time and seasons and changes in which we have little to no control over. You do not have control when you're born or when you die. We do not have control over planting seasons and harvesting times. However, God has a plan for everyone. Every one of us on earth, he has a plan for. If we will just reserve our lives for God's purposes, stay in right relationship with him, avoid evil and sinful activities and motivations, the Holy Spirit will work in and through us to accomplish God's perfect plan for our lives. 1 Peter and 1 Peter 4, 1 through 11, he reiterates this idea by encouraging us to continue to live godly lives. Actually, if you go to your Bible and you look up there, it said living godly lives was the title. Living godly lives in right relationship with Christ by avoiding the sin and behaviors we used to indulge in, not worrying about what others think or say or what the world thinks or says about us, and putting our faith into action with love as the motivation. We must keep the same mindset, attitude as Jesus through our obedience and perseverance in all we do in view of Christ's suffering, sacrifice on the cross, bringing all glory to God the Father. That's what both Solomon and Peter are saying. So I want to have a little fun this morning. Believe it or not, when I found out I was doing graduation Sunday without Pastor Dave and Pastor Howard being here, I told everyone jokingly, and I'm not joking, that we're going to do a little game this morning. because we do games in youth group, and that's who I am. So before you, if you guys got your packets, you have this little paper. I want you to concentrate on the side without lines or without boxes. You have two sides. I'm going to give you 60 seconds to count on the sheet, find the numbers 1 through 100 in order. Once you guys are ready, I am going to start the timer and go. Should have the Jeopardy theme song. Ding, 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 ding. 20 seconds. Ding, 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 ding. 15. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop. How many of you got to 5? How many got to 10? How many got to 15? How many got to 20? 25? 30? 35? 40? 45? I believe, Tony. I don't think I can keep going. How far did you get? Oh. Okay. Thank you for your honesty, Tony. Okay, now we're going to go to the second side. But here, we're going to stop for a minute, and I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do the same thing. You're going to have 60 seconds. But this time, as you look at your paper, number 1 is in the left box. Number 2 is in the right. 3 is below it. 4 is back to the left. And you're going to go clockwise in a circle, and that's how it goes. On your marks, get set. Go. Seconds. Fifteen. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and stop. How many of you guys improved? How many of you guys almost doubled, tripled? Okay, let me explain why we did this, the reason for this, and why your numbers increased the second time. The reason is because we stopped for a moment and gave you a little direction. Hear that? We stopped for a minute and we listened to a little direction. I gave you a little direction. Told you 1, 2 clockwise direction, right? Same thing with Scripture, same thing with Solomon. If we stop for a minute and listen to his direction, just as I was trying to illustrate, that in life, transitions and some of the most challenging tasks are much easier when we stop for a minute along the way and get a little bit of direction. If we stop and we get a little bit of direction, we'll do it faster, more efficiently, and a whole lot better if we just apply it to the task or situation we are facing. We just have to stop for a minute. We overcomplicate things too much. I am going to really simplify things today if I can, hopefully, because we do. Simply take a moment. So my goal this morning is, through my years of walking with Jesus, along with some wisdom and guidance from much smarter men than myself, Solomon and Peter, I might give you some help and direction today in changing seasons successfully, in which in life we'll have many. Seasons of change come through our life, right? Ending of an athletic season, moving from middle school to high school to college, semester to semester, returning home during college break, college to the workplace, from one job to another, from being in a relationship to ending a relationship. And if you're in youth ministry, that happens about every day. It makes your head spin. From being single to married life, and from being married to having children, and so on and so forth, there are changes and seasons that come constantly. Though change is often a little scary and unsettling, the only thing in life that does not change is change itself. Change never changes. So it is very important for us and for you graduates today to learn how to go through changes of seasons successfully. The way we do that is we need to choose to become a student of making biblical, solid transitions. We need to learn how to change with change, because we'll have a lot of them. Today I'll give you 6, hopefully, guidelines, steps, points. If you're going to change, if you're going to be a student who spiritually survives during the seasons of change, you must first of all maintain your spiritual anchor points. Although everything else around you is changing, you got to maintain your spiritual anchor points. Your spiritual health is number one. See, if we remember, right, in high school, we get structure, we get instruction most of the time, right? You're told when to go to bed, when to wake up, when to brush your teeth, when to put socks and shoes on if you're my boys, when to go to school, when to go to church. You get questioned by your youth pastor, you know, have you been in the Word this week? Have you been doing this? Have you been praying? You go to church where you get prayer, where you get fed with the Word. Then you go to college, and there's nobody anymore telling you what to do. There's no more structure. You go to bed late, you wake up even later. You get to class late. You don't know, you wear the same clothes all week long. You shower maybe once. There's nobody giving you instructions or direction. And in that, we tend to lose our discipline and even our spiritual disciplines, because there's nobody there holding us accountable. There's nobody. There's no youth group anymore. There's no church for some. A very scary statistic as a youth pastor I heard several years ago, and it's more now, obviously, but at the time, over 88% of students that grow up in the church, their parents are believers, Christ-filled, more than 88% of those who grow up in faith lose their faith within the first year of college and will not return. As a youth pastor, that sickens me. As a believer in Christ, that even hurts more. How can you walk away? But that's the statistic. Why? Because of all the changes we go through in college and all the figuring it out on ourselves, we tend to lose our anchor points to Jesus. We tend to not pray as much, or it's, I'll do it tomorrow, right? Tomorrow never comes. See, we need to determine the essential routines that make a choice to, and make a choice to continue them faithfully, no matter how we feel. We got to keep our relationship with Jesus. When the best and most encouraging words is the entire chapter of Psalm 119 about following Christ. And just, if you read the author, we don't have time today, but it is so powerful. But what are our spiritual anchor points? Reading and studying the Word of God. Number one, we need to know who He is, what He says. In our Bibles, we find the very nature and character of who God Almighty is. We get to know Him. Prayer. We need times of prayer with them. We need to talk to them. We need to get intimate with them. And three, fellowship. We need fellowship with other believers. We are the church. We are here to encourage and build one another up, to help give direction, correction, rebuking. The Bible tells us to. We need each other. Keep your disciplines and habits in regards to your relationship with Jesus. And if you're in here this morning and you don't have those habits, let me strongly encourage you to start them. Every habit, everything you do on a daily basis starts with the very first step of doing it. And then you continue to do it. Be on guard against one of transition's biggest lies. You can spiritually kick it into gear tomorrow. I can go to church next week. I can read my Bible tomorrow. If any of you in here have been on a diet, you've tried exercising, schoolwork, you know if you fall behind, it's harder to catch up, right? You never make that back. Most of the time, if you're on a diet and you, I'm going to have a cheat day today, tomorrow, that's me. I cannot diet. My wife makes healthier meals. I eat them, but once again, I have my, you know, box of Little Debbie's stashed away. I am a fat kid at heart. I love sweets. I really do. But my wife, I know, if she takes a day and it becomes 2 days, 3 days, next thing you know, the diet is thrown out and caution is thrown into wind and you are right back where you're at. Same thing with exercise. What we need to do is push through those feelings and keep going. That's where people come in practice, right? They help encourage us. Don't give up. Keep going. Two, talk feelings with Jesus. Back that prayer. We got to talk our feelings with Jesus. Let the Lord become the dream confidant with whom it is safe to share everything you're thinking, feeling without editing or balancing your words as you talk to him. It's simply as going to him. God doesn't want every day you come with the list of do's. Can you do this, 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 this? He wants to know your fears, your failures. He wants to know your excesses, your joys. He wants to know what's confusing you. He wants to know what. He wants to know it all. He knows it all already, but he wants you to come and talk to him. Every good friend knows your feelings in your heart. Jesus wants the same. He wants you to come with everything that you're going through. He wants to hear your good days and your bad days, your doubts. He wants it all, guys. He wants to know the times of loneliness and confusion. Everything. Here's a popular thing I tell myself and students all the time. If you don't feel like praying, talk to God about it. If you don't feel like praying, I don't feel like praying today. Go and talk to God about it. God, I don't feel like praying today. Guess what? You're already started praying. It's that simple, guys. God wants to hear it all. He really does. He wants to share those moments with you. Three, find a church and fast. You need fellowship. You need your spiritual disciplines, the Word of God being number one, your walk with Christ. You need prayer, and you need others. Refuse to be a casual or complacent in your pursuit, because the Christian life was not meant to live alone, guys. Adam was not meant to live alone. God gave Eve. We need one another. Relationships are very important, guys. If you're in this room today and you're going off to college, whether it's Central, whether it's UWGB, find InterVarsity. Find Chi Alpha. If you don't know, I know several of the Chi Alpha guys. They would love to come here and meet with you, get you settled before you even leave here. They'll even take you for a day or two on the campus and get you around and help you to understand things. It's so important to get plugged in and involved, guys. We can't just sit around and wait for someone else to do it for us. We have to go and do it ourselves. When you're in church and you feel lonely, get up and talk to someone about it. Because the problem is there's other people that feel the same way, and if we all sit here waiting for someone to come to us, we could be waiting forever. Get plugged in. Use what God has given you. to help build others up as well. Understand that there won't be another church or youth group like the one you came from. There will never be another Maranatha out there except for this one. There will never be another 212 unit ministries other than this one. Why? Because there are different people, different personalities. There is not another Dave Wilton in this world, Pastor Dave Wilton. There is not another Pastor Howard Young in this world. There is not another me in this world. And with that, you should have all said amen. Thank you, Jesus, because it's a good thing, I think. See, sometimes we go to a new church, we go to a new place, and right away we become fault-finding. Don't become fault-finding. Don't fix your eyes on other people. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't fix your eyes on the problems. Fix your eyes on Jesus. If you have a talent for music, but you don't like the worship, get involved in worship. Encourage the other ones to find new songs, to do new things, to go. Use your talents and gifts, guys. You don't want to be placent. God has given those things to build the body up. Don't be fault-finding. If you don't like something, change it. Talk to others. Learn about it. I don't like this. I don't like that. No. Man, this is awesome. I have a place to worship freely. How can I get in and help things or do things? See, whatever we invest our minutes, money, and mind in is what will grow in our lives. If you're investing your minutes, money, and mind in your local church, guess what? You're going to help your church to grow and you're going to help reach people in your community. If you're investing your minutes, money, and mind in other things, guess what? That's what you'll grow in your life. Laziness, you know, your TV, whatever. I can give you tons of stuff from my life. It just goes from there. Spiritually tie down to someone who has already changed the season successfully. Find a mentor, someone who will build you up, who's already gone through the change season you're going through, so they can help guide and direct you and keep you from making the same mistakes they had. We're meant to mentor and be mentored, guys. This is a lifelong process in Jesus. There are others out there that are more intelligent that I find mentorship from. Whether it's my spiritual mom, Jeannie Mayo, or it's Pastor Dave. They're my mentors. They're people I go to help learn and grow. And then I myself try and help grow and lead my students, my leaders. That's how this is supposed to, what we learn, we're supposed to pass on, guys. Think about it this way, real quick. In Exodus, we have Moses, we have the Israelites, right? Moses mentors Joshua, right? Grows him, gives him. Okay, so when Moses goes, Joshua takes, and guess what? We see success, right? We see stuff happening. Then what happens? Joshua never mentors someone else, and we have one of the darkest times we have, the time of the judges. Because there was nobody to carry on what God has grown through Moses. Moses grew through Joshua, and then Joshua stopped. We need to that continuing. Find a mentor and accountability partner, someone that will help you navigate, grow, and be successful. Proverbs 27:17, I don't have on the slides, but it says, as iron sharpens iron, so does a friend sharpen another. We influence one another. We help others grow. We sharpen them. Their spiritual, their intellect. 4, understand that some of your former hometown friends may fall spiritually or remind you of your past. Guard your hearts and your minds in those times. Come on, that's Satan's biggest weapon, is reminding you of your past. You're not good enough because you did. Jesus says, I washed you clean, you are no longer. Keep your eyes fixed on what's in front of you, your future. Season to season, focus forward with growing with God and not on your past mistakes. Don't listen to those idiots, if I can say that. I'm a youth pastor, so forgive me if that language. But seriously, Don't listen to those who you used to partner with in those times that are still doing those things. 1 Peter 4:4-5 again. Of course, your friends, your former friends, are very surprised when you no longer join with them in the wicked things they do. And they say evil things about you, but just remember that they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and dead. Stand firm, guys, in your relationship with Jesus. Realize God has it. Love your friends. Your former friends, pray for them. Don't let them influence you negatively, but let Jesus take care of that. Don't listen to them. Go forward. Grow with God. Watch the people you allow to speak into your life, because they'll speak death or life, growth or destruction. They will. I learned this personally. I'll tell you this after a story. Funny story I found, the graduation gift. A young man came from a wealthy home, and it was tradition when each of his siblings and when each of the kids graduated, they got a car from their parents. The young man was about ready to graduate high school, so he went shopping with his dad and found a really hot car, whatever it might be for you. If it's a 2019 Mustang, Dodge Challenger, whatever, he found the car, right? Absolutely, that he really wanted. His dad seemed pretty okay with it, so he was sure the next week at graduation he would get that car, keys and all. But something really strange and pretty overwhelming happened the night of graduation. His dad, rather than walking upstairs to give him the keys to a car, tenderly gave him a Bible and said to him, "Everything that you will ever need for your life or in your future is in this book. Everything you will ever need for your life or your future is in this book." The young graduate, quite honestly, got mad. Got ticked right off, right? I was expecting a car, I got a Bible. Are you kidding me? What? He had some friends standing around him, and they continued to fan his anger. You know those friends, right? Hey, didn't your sister get a car? Yeah. Didn't your brother get a car? Yeah. Well, what is this junk? What is your dad pulling on you? Does he not love you? You know, and you can see it, right? The friend's just giving in and getting that anger going, right? His friends encouraged the anger and helped it grow. "This stinks," he thought. "This is junk. I was supposed to get a car for graduation. What did I get? A Bible." He was so angry and frustrated that night that when his friends, those rotten influences, invited him over to his house to party and drink, he gave in and went. That night, he said yes. The young man was so angry, he wouldn't even talk to his dad because of the terrible graduation gift. Some of us in here that have parents know how that goes. You get mad because you didn't get what you want. I remember being little and, you know, Santa Claus was a joke to me. He never gave me what I wanted. My parents did. Sometimes they didn't either, though, right? You know the feeling. And then, of course, people just feel the flames. 48 hours. He spent 48 hours. Next couple of days, hanging out with those friends, partying, drinking, everything. 48 hours later, the young graduate's family called the house where he was staying and said, "You need to meet us in the intensive care unit of the hospital. Your father has been in a terrible accident. Tragic accident." His father never came out of the coma and died in the intensive care unit just days after the graduation of his son. After the funeral, the young man then went home, picked up the Bible, which had new sentimental meaning. He flipped through the pages of this book, and to his deep agony, found a cashier's check for the full amount of the car he wanted, with a note on the memo that said, "Everything you need in life and for your future, you will find in this book." If he would have just opened and went through the pages. Why did he make a fool of himself with his dad during a transitional time in his own life? He had listened to the wrong voices around him. He listened to the wrong friends and made an idiot of himself. He robbed himself of a relationship that would have been amazing. but something he would have needed. Quick story. I was freshman in high school, thought I knew everything as most. Hang out with the wrong crowd. This was before I got saved. Skipping school one day because that's what we did. We skipped school, or I did, with these friends. And we smoked cigarettes. I mean, it was the 90s, so that was the hip thing to do. And as we were skipping school, riding around, we ran out of cigarettes. And all of a sudden, it was like, well, I don't have money. I don't have money because there's two places in Escanaba at the time that would sell cigarettes to minors. So then it came, well, let's just go steal a pack. So everyone in that truck, well, I can't do it. I'm on probation right now for stealing, for shoplifting. I can't do it. Me too. I'm in the same boat. Me too. They went all the way around until it got to me. Tony, are you on probation? No. I've never stole anything in my life. Really? Oh, we can teach you how to get away with it. It will be easy. They started building me up, started thinking, yeah, I got this. Encouraged me. I went into Super One Foods, went and got the cigarettes, did everything they said. As I was walking out that door, a hand got on my shoulder. Store security, will you come with me, please? Okay. I was a stupid kid. Back then, we didn't have cell phones. What's the number of your parents? Oh, we don't have a phone because you could have said it back then. I lied. If you don't have a phone, if I can't call your parents, I got to call the police. Thought he was bluffing. Nope, don't have a phone. Got public safety come. I have a shoplifter here at Super One. My dad's cousins and several of his cousins and friends work for public safety. The guy was a new officer. He picked me up, got in the back of the squad car, got to the thing. What's your parents' number? We don't have a phone. Sonny Boy Deno, my dad's first cousin, comes around the corner. His parents do have a phone. I'll call him right now. Tell you what, I wish I was dead that day. Never did it again. I got rid of those friends that same day because I was never going to get in that situation again. They will bring you down. Brings us to number five, passionately pursue the right relationships or even romances because the enemy will anoint the wrong ones. The enemy will anoint the wrong relationships in your life if you aren't willing to make the cost to get the right ones in your right life, to make the effort. See, in the absence of your focus efforts to cultivate the right friendships and romances, hell will tailor make the wrong ones. Tailor it right to who you are and know how to get in there. Watch your relationships in every season. Who you allow in your life. Wish I had more students in here, but if I had more students in here, two of my favorite quotes on this world because they're so true. One, are your friends are like a buttons in an elevator. They'll either help you bring you up or bring you down. The other one is, and it's true, man. I can attest to it. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. I will absolutely show you your future. The way they're going is the way you go because here's the sad fact of reality is there is not a neutral relationship on this planet. Both parties will influence the other. And when you're doing it alone and you're in your faith alone and you're not that strong, guess what? The bad things will influence over the good. I tell my students all the time, how do I reach my friends? Can I hang out with them? Bring another Christian from youth group. Two of you are stronger than you going to the unsaved people. True story of John Dillinger. He was a good kid growing up. In his youth, he was respectful, he was polite, he had good marks in school. And then in junior high, his friends taught him how to steal chickens from the farmers down the road. Steal chickens, they thought it was fun, it was hilarious. And then it grew into stealing cars and eventually robbing banks. In the end, his appetite for money led him to a lifetime of crime, running, hiding, and killing anyone he had to. All just to get money. This direction in his life all started with the wrong friendships, with the wrong relationships. Is it a big deal to hang out with some guy friends, some fun guy friends, that help you steal chickens? Your friendships, if you don't choose the right ones, will lead you to things that are simple and dumb as stealing chickens. The problem and the issue is not the small choices your friends will influence you to make in the beginning. It's where those issues of the small choices you make will eventually take you in life. That's the problem. Cultivate the right relationships. Don't wait for Christian friends to call you. Be proactive and call a friend or make a new one. Remember that the wrong friend is your worst enemy because they will influence you. Realize that during change of seasons, as hard as it may seem, no friends are better and safer than the wrong ones. Once again, Jesus says, I am closer than a brother. In those times, don't allow yourself to go to wrong friendships. Cling to Jesus. Stand firm. Let him help you cultivate. And finally, number 6, realize that boredom, loneliness, and isolation will all magnify temptation levels. When you're bored, when you're lonely, there's nothing going on and you're lazy, it's going to magnify the temptation in other things. Most of you in this room are old enough to remember the old saying, idle hands are the devil's work, right? Devil's tool. Yeah, when we aren't using our gifts and talents to grow and help others grow, Satan gets to come into those spaces of laziness, boredom, and loneliness and influence. You got to put your faith into action. You got to put your talents, your gifts that God gave you into action. 1 Peter 4:8-11. Above all, love each other deeply. Love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be all the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. We have to put it. James tells us in 2:26, right? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. 1 Corinthians 13, love chapter. What is love? Love is action. Love is not the fuzzies, the feelings. It's action. You got to put it into practice. So graduates of 2019 in Maranatha, I challenge you this morning, as you heard, as you head into the seasons of change, not to give in to meaningless, ungodly desires, pleasures, indulgences, philosophies, and values this world has to offer, or listen to the opinions and abuses of others in regard to your former life in the seasons of change. Don't listen to them. But as Solomon and Peter have instructed, anchor yourselves in the suffering, sacrifice, love, and hope found in Jesus Christ. Anchor yourselves to him. Commit yourselves to God, honor him, keep his commandments, and live godly lives by walking daily in right relationship with Jesus. Through reading and studying the Word of God, close and intimate prayer, and fellowship with other believers. And in love, putting your words, gifts, talents, and faith into action, serving, loving, and building others up, allowing God to fulfill his perfect will, purposes in your lives during every season of change, allowing you to transition successfully from one to another always. Then and only then will you find true and lasting meaning, joy, and fulfillment in your life. I do not see any of our graduates here this morning. Oh, we do have one, Emily. Sorry about that, Emily. So we are going to pray. Is there anyone in here who has a graduate that isn't here, but you are a family member? Mom, dad, grandparent, guardian, anyone? No? Okay. So we're going to pray for Emily. Emily, we have a gift for you. I will find it after. Because, and you know what? Yours might actually be on my thing. Nope. Here it is. Okay. But we'll find it in a minute. Come up. I'm going to ask Mom and Dad to come up since they're here too, and we're going to pray for Emily. Another thing you're going to get is this beautiful token from 212. This is not yours, but we'll find yours. Has class of 2000. It's a walking stick with a little anchor. See that? To remind you to anchor to Jesus and to walk with him always. The verse I have for you graduates this year is Micah 6:8. It's one of my favorites. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. You've done it. Your parents have shown you through Christ. We have your body of believers, your youth group. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So we're going to send you out. And I have all the faith in the world, man, that you are going to serve Jesus. I've known you. I know your parents. They were there when I was in high school. I remember them pulling out their hair about me. So I'm sure they taught you well. But I know you love Jesus, Emily. I really do. And you are a very talented girl, and you are going to go far, and you are going to do many great things in Jesus' name. And we are proud of you for that. So let's pray. Congregation, if you'd stand and just outstretch an arm to Emily. Father God, we thank you for Emily, and we thank you for the growth, the relationship she has in you, Father God, her faith and her desire to follow you. Father God, we pray in this time of transition and season that you will speak clearly to Emily what your will is, what the purpose for her life is, that you'll put the right relationships and influences, Father God, that you will guide and direct, Holy Spirit, her steps always, that you'll go before her, with her, and behind her, Father God, that you'll encompass her life, and that she will bring glory and praise to you all the days of her life. We submit her into your hands, and we send her off, and we just ask that you bless her, guide her, be with her always, as we know you will. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Congratulations. You guys can go get donuts, and we're going to get her gifts. So have a great day.